Good morning. Don't be scared. I'm not going to start preaching. This is just in case. It's good to see everybody here. It's good to be here. And I was telling Stan, it's like going to be like old times when we were over at the church. This is what we did every Sunday. But we're over here now and glad to be here. I'm not ready to get started. He told me what his sermon was going to be about, and I'm excited to be here and hear it. But I'm not going to spoil your surprise. He shouldn't have told me. Anyway, let's bow and go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we just thank you so much for being here with us today, Lord, being in your house of worship. Now we just pray as we start this service and continue in the worship that you will just fill this house with your Holy Spirit, Lord. Open our minds and our hearts to the sermon that Brother Stan has prepared. Pray that you'll just fill him with the Holy Spirit. Speak through him today, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The reason that I hurried up here is because I always wanted to have backup singers. It feels good, too. I am a friend of God. They need to do a little bit more of that, right? Amen? Say it with me. I am a friend of God. Say it like you mean it. I am a friend of God. Absolutely. There's a new show on called God Friended Me. Who's seen that? Okay. There's a song, All My Exes. Okay, folks, this is scary. You know a song about exes in Texas, but no, I don't blame you. But it's a show about God is on Facebook. Yeah, where he's watching you. He knows what you post on Facebook. Because he's on Facebook. He's right there. And this guy gets a friend request from God on Facebook. And that's all I know about it. I've never seen the show. Have not a lot of desire to see. You think this is the same water from last week when Ken preached? I ain't scared. I'll drink it. Truth or dare? How much? So, Facebook has become so popular. How many of you are on Facebook? Come on, be honest. How many of you are on Facebook? All right. How many of you have more than 10 friends on Facebook? All right. How many of you have more than 100 friends on Facebook? Come on now. How many of you have more than 500 friends on Facebook? Look at that. I want to share a scripture with you. A man of too many friends comes to ruin. Hey, that's what Solomon said. I'm just telling you. He says, but there's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Have you had those kinds of friends in your life? Had those kinds of friends that were just closer to you than anybody? Those kinds of friends that you could tell all your secrets to, and they were never surprised. And they would share with you all of their... Thank you so much. Here, would you like that one back? Hey, a dollar. Oh. But have you had those kinds of friends? That's a kind of friendship we need to have with Jesus. Except the friendship with Jesus seems to be conditional. We reach out to Jesus when we're in trouble. We reach out to Jesus when things aren't going quite like we want them to. We reach out to Jesus when those unfair things happen in our lives and we ask why. And if you get the answer, the exact answer, the perfect answer, not just the pacifying answer, let me know. Because I got to tell you, I'm seeing you all horizontally. God's seeing us vertically, and He knows what the plan is. He has seen the end. He knows exactly the reason this is happening in your life, because I make all things work together for good for those who believe. The reason this is happening to your life that you don't understand, there's a greater plan for that. And He's in control, not you. And I know a lot of you, and I'm glad you're not in control. We did our paint projects yesterday. Thank you all who showed. Who was there? Who got paint on them? Oh my gosh. Where's Noah? Noah. Hey, I'll tell you a quick story. So we had paint left over. I've told some of you this. And in my garage, it's really kind of messy. So I have a shelf up there on top. I could put these 3 gallons of paint up there. I reached up like this, put one up there. It worked. I got the other one, put it up there, and it worked. And I got the other one, got it right here, and realized the lid wasn't tight. All over me, all over my garage, all over Pam's sign that I'm making for, all over everything. But today I want to talk to you about being a friend with Jesus. Okay? Years ago, I was in Atlanta, Georgia, and I had a vice president, a guy I've known for years, call me and said, "Hey, I heard you were in Atlanta." I said, "Yeah." He says, "Do you have dinner plans?" I said, "No." He goes, "Well, you do now." So I met him for dinner, and he says to me, "Do you mind if we don't talk about work and we just talk about God?" I said, "I'd be fine with that." So today, I don't really want to preach to you. I want to talk to you about being a friend of Jesus. Because I'm telling you, if you are not a friend with Jesus, no other friend will do. No other friend will do. And how do we know that we can be a friend with Jesus? I'm going to read you just a couple verses. Jesus says, "You are my friends." He says, "You are my friends if you do what I command." Because the obedience of His commandments don't come out of obligation, it comes out of love. We are so stuck on obligation in our lives. Have you ever said to yourself, "I don't pray enough"? You ever said that? Come on, nod your head. Somebody just nod your head. That's the way we keep moving on in this sermon. You participate, you nod. But we have, right? We have, "I don't pray enough. How about I don't read my Bible enough?" Because there's some kind of obligation built inside of us that we think if we do it enough, that something magic will happen. You shouldn't be saying, "I don't read my Bible enough." You should be saying, "I don't apply my Bible enough." Is this mic working? You should say, "I don't apply my Bible enough." Anybody like that? I've told this story or told this incident years ago, way back when Ned was at Wesleyan Bible Church, that a young lady came up to Candy and I and told us that it was God's will for her to leave her husband and marry her boyfriend. You know, the Bible said God hates divorce. And if you interpret that in the Greek, it says God hates divorce. If you interpret it in Spanish, it says God hates divorce. If you interpret it in anything, Pig Latin, it says God, well, I don't know how to say Pig Latin, but God hates divorce. How much explaining do you need? Pretty plain, isn't it? Honor your mother and father. I should be just talking right here, right? Honor your mother and father. Is there anything confusing about that? Do it. Just do it. Right? So Jesus says, "You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you." So being a friend of Jesus is that he relates to us the things that the Father has made known to him. He brings it to you, you obey it, you are a friend of Jesus. Then James says, "And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, and Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." So you see, we can be friends of Jesus. He's right here with us. We can be friends with Jesus. Oh, does anybody know what the surprise is, what this sermon's about? I am a friend of God. That's what we're going to talk about today. What kind of friend is God? I'm going to read you some scripture here. Peter says, "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting your anxiety on him, because he cares for you." You know, you get told over and over and over and over again that Jesus loves you. "This I know, for the Bible tells me so." We heard that our whole lives. Hey, Frankie, "Jesus loves you. This I know, for the Bible tells me so." Frank came to hear me preach today. We hear that over and over again. We hear from our parents, "I love you, I love you, I love you." But isn't there a time in life when we really doubt that that's true? Come on, get real with me here. Isn't there a time in life that we wonder, "Does Jesus, do you really love me?" Remember on the water when the storm was coming and Jesus was sleeping and the disciples woke him up and they said, "Don't you care that we're perishing?" You see, they'd spent all this time with Jesus. They saw all the miracles of Jesus. They get in a little bit of hot water and they say, "Don't you care that we're perishing?" They doubted, "If Jesus loves me, this I know. For the prophets told me so," right? They didn't have the Bible then. Some of you have to catch up. Isn't there times in our lives where we wonder, "Jesus, if you love me so much, why would I be going through this?" But Jesus cares about you. And that's the kind of friend he is. Another kind of friend, it says, "And God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Jesus Christ." He will supply you with all your needs to do his will in your life. Not your will in your life, his will in your life. You see, Jesus has a plan, and you're part of that plan. You are part of the church. Brother Ken's preaching about loving the church. You are part of the church. You're part of the body of Christ. And he will supply everything you need to make that thing happen. You know, we have free will. Everybody believe that we have free will? We can make choices in our life. We have free will in our life. Your children have free will in your house to a point, right? We have free will to a point because our will is not free enough to change his plan. Let me repeat that. Our will is not free enough to change his plan. And then he says in John 15, he says, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branches cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me." He says, "I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing." It doesn't say you can do a little bit well. It says you can do, apart from Jesus, You can do nothing. If you are not a friend of Jesus, you can do nothing. You say, well, I get them to go to work. I raise a family. I pay my bills. I bought me a boat. Junior says, amen. Amanda and Candy say, oh my. You can do nothing apart from him. And when you realize that in your life, when you realize you can do nothing apart from him, then you can be that friend of Jesus. Philippians says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Apart from him, I can do nothing. But with him, I can do all things. Isn't that a great promise? Isn't that the kind of friend that you want? That is the kind of friend that you not only want, that's the kind of friend that you need. And here's the best kind of friend. He says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. Is anybody here today weary and heavy laden? I can just look out here and I know the tragedies that all of you have gone through, or many of you. I know the tragedies. I've been to the funerals. I've been to the hospital. I've seen the prayer request. I know the tragedies. But he says, come to me with all of those things. And he says, I will give you peace. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Now, isn't that the kind of friend you want? Isn't that a great friend? But here's the deal. Friendship doesn't go one way. Friendship does not go one way. Have you ever had those friends where you were the one initiating every contact? Some of you have friends like that now. I initiate, oh, you know what, I call you, but you never call me back. I call you to check on you, and you never call and check on me. And sometimes it's heavy, right? Sometimes we think, well, what's the point? Why should I call them? If I call you, you ought to call me back, because there's really a chance that I might want to give you $100. A very slim chance. We had a system at Home Depot when I worked there about leaving notes in the system. The guy, manager, fussed because nobody left notes in the system. So I put a note in the system. If you contact me by Friday at noon, I will buy you lunch. 3 weeks later, he comes and he says, when did you put this in there? Case in point right there. A friendship has to go both ways. It's called reciprocating. It's like a reciprocating saw, right? Go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Well, how does that work with Jesus? How does the back and forth work with Jesus? It works two ways, and I want to talk about communication with Jesus. The first one is guess. How do we communicate with Jesus? Prayer. Boy, you guys are you. How do we communicate with Jesus? Do you believe that? Do you do that? Do you do it enough? It says the friendship he desires with us is not one way. He wants to have a reciprocating friendship with us. He wants you to come and bring to him all of your burdens, all of your requests. And here's the deal. Whether you bring them to him or not, he already knows. He wants you to pray and say it out loud or in your heart so that you realize that you need him. He already knows you need him. He knows it so much, he died for that. He died for you because you need him. But he wants you to come to him in prayer so that you know, so that you realize, your blessings. Anybody ever have an answered prayer? Oh, this better be good, people. This better be good. Raise your hands. Did you wake up this morning and have breath? You need to be praising God about that. We all have those experiences in our life where God intervened or God showed up. And I got to tell you, I heard something the other day from Mark Lowry, which was kind of a strange place to hear this. But he says that arguments will never trump experiences. If I've had an experience with God, you can never argue that away, ever, ever, ever. That is an experience in my life that He has put there, and you can't, I don't care how smart you are, you cannot argue that away. And that experience will trump every time. So I want to talk to you briefly about communication. Now, somebody told me the Cowboys weren't playing until Monday, so I had lots of time. I want to back up a little bit because I was talking about that communication, that two-way street, and you have that person that you reach out to all the time. There could be that person in your life that reaches to you all the time and you don't respond. And I want to take just 10 seconds. If you have somebody in your life that was a friend or is a friend that you need to reach out to, you need to scratch that name down somewhere. Because we all got them. We all got those people that we need to call. I've already fussed at Larry about not calling me enough. And he called me the next day. But we all have those friends. But Jesus wants to have a relationship with you that's reciprocating, that's back and forth, where you talk to Him and He talks to you. And we get to talk to Him like a person talks to a friend. There is no formal prayers. There are no magic words. I've heard great prayers. I've heard awful prayers. I've heard people make mistakes in prayer. I've heard pastors accidentally pray to the devil or mention the devil in his prayer instead of Jesus. Oh yeah, I've heard them. But see, Jesus knows your heart. And He wants you to reach out to Him so that you understand and that you know His heart. Some verses on prayer. 1 John says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. So do you know if you ask anything according to your will, His will, He will hear you? Not your will. There's one of those mistakes, right? Not your will, His will. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of Him. So if you pray in His will, and I got to be honest, we pray a lot for sick people, right? We pray a lot. That's prayer requests. It always starts with this much sick people and about this much of unsaved people, which always confused me a little bit. But our sick friends are unsaved friends. Our sick friends are unsaved friends. So maybe that we ought to start talking our unsaved friends and our sick friends, okay? But I've told God, I said, God, I know that You have a will, but just in case you don't understand my will, I want to tell You what it is. I want this person healed, God. That's my will. That's what I want. Can I say that to Jesus? Can I say that to God? Absolutely. Because isn't that our will? That we want that salvation, or I mean that healing, we want that. We don't pray for people to die. Well, I have prayed for people to take people, or for God to take people home, but typically we don't pray for people to die. We pray for healing, right? Because that's our will. Philippians says, do not be anxious for anything, but in everything by prayer and petition and thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. So if we take everything to prayer, we don't have to understand it, but He will give us a peace that is beyond understanding. And I know you all have had this. This is nothing new. But somehow prayer becomes a chore in our life. It becomes an obligation in our life. It becomes some kind of routine in our life. But interesting, I think it's Paul that says, Thessalonians, the letter to Thessalonica says, be joyful always, pray continually. You need to be praying right now. Pray that Brother Stan doesn't fall off that stage. You need to be praying right now. You need to be thanking God that I'm your father. Girls, for in case you all didn't know, the one that stands right here and does just a little bit of this, that's my daughter. The one that welcomes you every Sunday morning is my daughter. Of course, most of you know it because I'm sure she's bragging about it quite a bit. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. James says, when you ask and do not receive, because you ask with the wrong motives, that's when you're asking for your will and not God's will. That you may spend what you get on your pleasures. So the way we communicate to God is through prayer. And it needs to be a continual prayer. We need to be unceasingly in prayer, in our prayers, in the way we pray. We need to continue that. Prayer is not a habit. Prayer is a thing that you do. Does anybody tell your spouse you love them out of habit? Don't answer that. You need to tell your spouse and your children and your family members that you love them out of love, because you do love them. And we need to pray out of love, because that is our friend. Isn't it great to know that the Creator of everything is your friend? Now here's the stickler. That person that you aren't fond of, he may be their friend too, so you got to watch out. He created them too, didn't he? So we talk to him through prayer. And how does he talk to us? What's this reciprocating thing? How does he come back and talk to us? It's right here. This is how he talks to us. He talks to us through his word. The psalm says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. In other words, the way you are guided through your life is through thy word of Jesus talking to you. Somebody settle that child down. I can say that, it's my grandson. But this is it. This is the way he talks back to you. And see, reading the Bible is not a marathon. Listening to God's word is not a marathon. How many got the friends that you talk to for 2 or 3 minutes and they're done talking? That was my dad. I talked to him 2 or 3 minutes. He'd say, you want to talk to your mom? Here. He was done talking. But how many of you have those friends that you could talk to for hours? I remember way back in the days when Candy was chasing me, we would talk on the phone for hours. So there's times where you just may have a little bit of time and you read this. And there may be times where you spend hours in this. But keep in mind, this is not a marathon. You do not get points for the more you read. You get points for the more you apply. Keep that in mind. It is not about reading. It's about applying the Bible in your life. I love the story that Francis Chan tells. I may have told it before, but I'm getting old, so I repeat myself. But his daughter's name was Rachel, and he told Rachel, he says, Rachel, go clean your room up. So she's gone, and she's gone for a couple hours, and she comes back down, and she goes, "Daddy, I memorized what you said. You said, Rachel, go clean your room." So, "Daddy, I sat in there, and I repeated it over and over and over again until I had it. And you said, Rachel, go clean your room." I said, "And Daddy, you're going to be proud of me because I can say it in Greek, too." I say, "Rachel, go clean your room. I can say it in Greek. And Daddy, I've talked to some of my friends, and we're going to get together once a week, and we're going to study, and we're going to talk about what my room would look like if it was clean." We know what it says, but we have to practice because He is our friend if we obey His commandments. We have to know what it says. And real quick, well, finally, I don't know what I want to say because it's probably not going to be quick. Philippians says, "Finally, brethren," and then he goes on two more chapters. So, you know, it's what all Scripture... This is what Paul's telling Timothy. All Scripture is inspired by God. That means it is God-breathed. It means God is breathing this. God's breath caused these men to write it down on whatever they wrote it down on, and we have it in a nice, handy book form. We have the Word of the Creator of everything in our hands that we can buy anywhere for a buck. We have it right here before us. And Timothy's told by Paul, he says, this Scripture is for teaching, reproof, and for correction, and for training in righteousness. The teaching part is you learn what it says. That's a teaching. You learn what it says. The reproof is stupid. You should have learned what it said. That's the reproof. And have you ever read the Bible and go, "God, man, I never knew that. Why didn't I see that before?" And the correction is He takes you and He puts you back on the path. You veer off. He reproves you. He corrects you. Sometimes the reproof is through consequences. Some of us are still suffering consequences from decisions we made a long time ago that were not in line with God's Word. You know, I'm guessing that more than 10% of us in here have debt. For you mathematicians, that's not very many. For more than half, I'm thinking probably a lot of us have debt in here. A lot of us have debt. And do you know that the Bible says that you will be slave to the lender if you're in debt? Do you realize that if you are in debt, that takes away from serving God somehow, some way? If I have to work 40, 50, 60 hours a week to pay my debt, that's 40, 50, 60 hours a week that I can't serve God. He says, you will be a slave to your lender. Man, I wish I'd have known that when I was 18 years old. Y'all, 18 years old, pay as you go. I'm telling you, pay as you go. You will be happy when you are John Coleman's age, if you live that long. You will be happy that you paid as you went. You will be happy. And then it says, for training in righteousness. Well, see, it teaches us what the Bible says. It reproves us. We have consequences. Puts us on the narrow path. Then it shows us what it would be like to be Jesus. That we would be righteous and holy. And we would be a friend of Jesus. Now, I don't know where y'all are at. I don't know if Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. If He's not, He should be. And you can see me or anybody right after this and find out how, but He should be. But if He is, He wants to be your friend. He wants to be closer than any other friend, because this is the thing he said, greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. You see, Jesus laid down his life for us. Jesus died for us. Jesus went through a terrible punishment, a terrible, terrible event for us. And what he's asking in return is that we live for him. That's part of being that friend of Jesus. So I don't want you to walk out of here thinking, I need to pray more. I want you to walk out of here thinking, I need to show Jesus the love that I have in my heart for him. I need to show him the love that I have for him. He knows it, but isn't it nice when your children tell you how much they love you and how proud they are of you? Isn't it nice to have them say that so that they realize it? Isn't it nice to know that the children that you raised love you? So don't walk out of here saying, I don't pray enough. And don't walk out of here saying, I don't read my Bible enough. Take what you know and apply it to your life. You cannot make excuses for that. You know better. How many times you heard that? You know better. And we do know better, don't we? So take that part. Read enough. If you find something you need to go apply, read. Stop reading there and start applying it. Because you can memorize this book from cover to cover. And if you don't apply any of it, it will not change you at all. That's my message. Be a friend of God. Have that relationship that goes back and forth. Talk to him, he talks to you. Let it change your life. Lord, we thank you for this day. And Father, I'm not only speaking to these, I'm speaking to myself. Because I get caught up in that trap, I need to do more, 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 more. But Lord, I need to love you more and serve you more. All the other things in my life need to decrease so that you might increase in my life. Lord, you put us here to love and to serve and to be your body, your hands and your feet and your mouth, that we might go into the world and make disciples, that they may go and make more disciples, Lord. Father, I just pray that your word would touch the lives of just a few that's here today. Lord, make changes in their lives. That maybe it wouldn't be so much about them, but it'd be more about you. Father, I thank you for the love that we've seen in this church, for the outreach. But Lord, I pray that it would go beyond Sundays, beyond Wednesdays, be on a work day every quarter or so, that we would pray and communicate with you on a daily basis, constantly, consistently, knowing that you love us and that you care for us, and Lord, that you desire good in our life, not evil. And I pray this in Jesus' name.